Let's all stand to our feet, shall we? For today's message is the reading of God's word in our hearing as we give reverence to God's word. Our reading, Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 through 10. The reading is taken from the KJV. And thou shalt number seven Sabbath of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seven Sabbaths of the year shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family, celebrating liberty. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this holy gathering. Thank you, God, for your saints who have assembled themselves today, Lord. Thank you for their love and devotion to you. And so, Father, as we're listening to your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit will help me to expound this word, that, Father, that it might be real to our hearts, relevant to our hearts, that our hearts might be caught up in the worship of you, the servitude of you and others, as we celebrate liberty. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In September 1777, the Republic was only a year old, and its army, commanded by George Washington, faced a crisis. Washington was unable to keep the British out of the capital city of Philadelphia, having lost the Battle of Brandywine. The new nation was about to fall into enemy hands. The British believed that if they could occupy the capital, this colonial rebellion could be stopped. During a war, metal becomes scarce. So it was feared that the British might melt down the city's church bells and the bells of the state house, including the bell we now know as the Liberty Bell. So it was decided to remove the 11 bells from the city so they would not fall into enemy hands. The bells would eventually make their way to a distant village called Allentown, 50 miles to the north for safekeeping while the British occupied Philadelphia. A train of 700 wagons were organized to carry the bell and other important items to a safe place. Carefully camouflaged by hay and manure, the Liberty Bell and other bells were transported with their guard of 200 cavalrymen arriving in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, on September the 24th, 1777. That night, the bells were hauled to Allentown, where they were hidden under the floorboards of Old Zion's Reformed Church. There they remained in safety until the following July. By the end of June 1778, the British had evacuated Philadelphia, and the Liberty Bell and the church bells were restored to their rightful places, celebrating liberty. Throughout this pandemic, we have faced challenges and trials, and nevertheless, we continue to celebrate God, others, and important observances, whether via Zoom, drive-bys, live streaming alike. And last night marked the 244th birthday of our independence. Fireworks, patriotic songs, tributes to men and women of our armed services were greatly reduced, but this is still a celebration of Liberty Weekend. You see, the Great Liberty Bell in Philadelphia has inscribed upon it our text taken from Leviticus 25, verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout the land. But exactly what does that mean? And how does that relate to us in general and to you in particular? So let's make sense of our text. In the Old Testament, the seventh day was the Sabbath, Saturday. Every seventh year was a sabbatical year. And seven times seven sabbatical years totaled 49 years, which would mark a Jubilee year. And according to verse number 9, the proclamation of Jubilee was to take place on the Day of Atonement. So let me briefly explain. On the Day of Atonement, which was the most holy day on the Jewish calendar, the high priest was to take blood, go behind the veil, and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. If the priest in the Holy of Holies, if he were to die and not leave the Holy of Holies, it signified that God had rejected the sacrifice, the sins of the people were not atoned for, and thus it would be devastating. However, If he came out alive, it signified that God had accepted this sacrifice, that the people's sins were forgiven, and that great joy would ensue. You see, the 40th ninth year, when the priest came out alive, it was to be signified by the blast of the trumpet's horn. And the blast of the trumpet horn would be the proclamation of the year of Jubilee. But exactly what kind of Jubilee? A Jubilee of joy, freedom, and liberty, which tells us what? That is not God's holy intentions for you to be sad. It's not his holy intentions for you to be depressed, discouraged, defeated, and dejected. You see, life circumstances can be harsh and can cause us to experience despair. But there is a joy. There is a liberty that flows from the sacrifice of Calvary into our very souls that's immensely greater than all the difficulties of this world. Let the church say amen. Thus, there is forgiveness for all, and there is liberty for all. And in this morning's message, celebrating liberty, the first thing we want to notice, point number one, is this. The Lord wants to move us from solemnity to festivity. The Lord wants to move us from solemnity to festivity. There is a place for solemnity. And for the last 3.5 months or so, it has been very solemn. The number of persons who have been ill, the coronavirus has befallen them, those that have passed away, and the like. And it's been very solemn. But by divine commandment, there are to be times of unbridled joy. God wants us to celebrate freedom to such an extent that he commanded the people to celebrate freedom. Why? Because he's our liberator. He's our emancipator. He is the one who sets the captives free. Why must we rejoice? Because the joy of the Lord is the strength of the saints. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you were glad when they said unto me, let us enter the house of God today? You were glad. It rejoiced your heart to come into the house of God. And when you leave the house of God, it will be your pleasure, it will be your delight that you have entered the house of God to worship God. You say, well, what is all of that about? I'm here to tell you one of the benefits is this, the joy of the Lord is the strength of the saints. That is God's joy that will get you through this pandemic. That is joy that will get you through the trials of life. And I don't know about you, I think we all can take some joy about right now. You see, God commands his people to rejoice. Have you not read, rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say, rejoice. Kavona 19 can be confining, it can be restrictive, but your spirit can be free. The Lord wants us not only to be a holy people, but a happy people. And the word blessed means happy. Are you happy today? Do you thank God for the freedom of religion? Do you thank God for the freedom of speech? Do you thank God for the freedom of assembly? Do you thank God for the freedom of the press? We have inalienable rights, God-given rights, rights that come to us from God and not man. Thus, man is never to encroach upon our inalienable rights, our God-given rights, because they did not come from man and they're not to be taken away by man. Well, what are our inalienable rights? Our inalienable rights are the following: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Celebrate liberty. Now, secondly, our liberty is guarded by our ethics. Our liberty is guarded by our ethics. Look at verses 13 through 17. In the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou shalt sell unto thy neighbor or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of the years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor according unto the number of years of the fruit he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fruitfulness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doeth sell unto thee. Verse 17. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Our liberty is protected by our ethics. A godly people are a free people. However, the ungodly oppress others. The ungodly enslaves and exploits others. So notice the Lord's repeated words at the end of verse number 14. Ye shall not what? Oppress one another. Notice verse number 17. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another. When we honor one another, when we do justly to one another, there are the promises of prosperity. But when we do unjustly, then there are the laws of diminishing returns. Let me say that again. When we do not honor one another, when we do not respect one another, what is happening? We're failing to safeguard our liberties, because the greatest threat to liberty, listen to me, is sin. Let the church say amen. And it's sinful to disrespect, to dishonor one another. You see, beloved, when we dishonor one another, there's the laws of diminishing returns, because you know as well as I do, God don't bless no mess. In other words, God does not bless sin nor sinners. In the context, as we are exploiting one another, God will not bless us. God gives us freedoms to do that which is just, not that which is unjust or unrighteous. Ill treatment and exploiting of others is the abuse of liberty, because liberty is noble, is honorable, is loving, is considerable, it is peaceful, and it is amenable. Are you celebrating liberty? Are you guarding liberty? You see, we socially guard liberty by honoring one another. However, law enforcement and the military, they guard our liberties against the enemies of our Constitution that God has given us inalienable rights. You say, well, why do we have military? Why do we have law enforcement? Law enforcement, military, are to protect our inalienable rights. If another nation is threatening our liberties, then our military is called to arms to protect our liberties. You see, we have the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If someone is trying to take by force your property, if they're trying to do you physical harm or perform some act of cruelty, then law enforcement has the call under God to protect you. God wants your inalienable rights to be protected. The military and law enforcement are called to be our protectors, to guard our liberty. But thirdly, liberty promotes the primacy and welfare of family. Liberty promotes the primacy and welfare of family. Look at verses 23 through 26. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption of the land. If thy brother be waxen poor and have sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and he himself be able to redeem it, liberty promotes the primacy of family and its welfare. Now, listen very closely. The year of Jubilee was a year in which all debts were canceled. How many of you wish we had that year right now? All debts were canceled. That you had a clean financial slate, that whether you owe $300,000 or $100,000 or $500,000 or $600,000 on a mortgage, the year of Jubilee is all canceled. Let the church say amen. Regardless of how much of a student loan you may owe, $150,000, $175,000, $300,000 worth of student loans, year Jubilee, everything is wiped out from the books. Perhaps you have filed for bankruptcy. for bankruptcy protection and personal protection. Year Jubilee, that bankruptcy, if you would, is eliminated from the books. You have a clean slate. And then God says in the year of Jubilee that those who have lost properties, families that have lost properties, that now the new owners of the properties are to sell back to those families the properties that were once lost. But now God says you must sell it back to them at a reasonable price because God doesn't want us exploiting one another. You say, well, what is all that about? God was doing something because this is a great problem in our country. It is a tremendous problem in our country is this. The year of Jubilee was the breaking up of monopolies. The breaking up of monopolies. You see, if the truth were to be told, there are just a few dozen corporations and entities that's really running all the show in America. And what God is saying, all wealth and too much wealth is not to reside in the hands of the poor. Every 50 years, those monopolies were to be broken up in the context that those ownings that were formerly owned by other persons are to be returned back to the family. Okay, what is that telling us? God doesn't want a family to be perpetually impoverished. Let the church say amen. God has a financial recovery plan for the family, and it was called the Year of Jubilee, which meant this. The indentured slave or servant was free. If a person had an indentured slave or servant, that slave, that servant had to be freed, had to be released from legal obligation. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let the church say amen. All of the persons who were in debtor's prison, they all were to be released out of debtor's prison. Everyone was to have a clean financial slate. You see, the land was to experience rest. Laborers were forbidden to work. The land was to rest. In other words, you said, well, if we don't work, we won't eat. What God did leading up to the year Jubilee, God would give the people such a large bumper crops that they were to store their crops for upwards to 2 to 3 years. So while the land is resting 1 year, no sowing, no reaping, that the following year, they still have enough food the second year, and then the third year, they could once again harvest from the land. But God would sustain them through bumper crops prior to the year of Jubilee. God is telling us this, listen to me. There is the place for rest, leisure, and recreation. You see, if we really understood the theology of play, we would understand this. You have to understand its context is this, that play is greater than work. Play is greater than work. You see, if you think about it, most of us work so that eventually we can play. We work, if you would, 50 weeks out of the year, and then we have a 2-week vacation. Well, we work for 50 weeks out of the year so that we can enjoy 2 weeks of vacation. And guess what? You look forward to your vacation. In other words, the lesser is a buildup to the greater. Play in the context of this, that God wants us to enjoy Him. In thy presence is fullness of joy and pleasures evermore. There are times that God wants to relieve you of ordinary, common responsibilities that you can be pulled away from those things and give yourself over to things, quote, that you love, things that you delight in, things you take pleasure in. God not only has freed us from sin, but God has freed us to bless us to enter into his pleasures, a play. You see, some of us are just too serious. Let the church say amen. You need to lighten up. Somebody say amen. You need to lighten up. And you know what? Throughout this pandemic, you know what people are? They're tight. I mean, they're tight. They're uptight. I mean, they're just wound up tight. And God is saying, by commandment, you are to celebrate freedom. You are to celebrate liberty. I'm relieving you of ordinary responsibilities so that you can give yourself over to play and to pleasure, and I'm eliminating all of your debts. God is saying, this is our close. God is able to take care of us. You say, well, you know, I got to work in order to take care of myself. Yes, God has sanctioned work to meet the basics of your life. But I'm here to tell you, if for some reason, whether it's health or whatever, unemployment, and you find yourself that you can't work, guess what? God can still provide for you. God is not dependent upon your job. You see, your job is just the resource, but God is your source. God is the source of your blessing, and God can bless you any way he wants to. Are you celebrating liberty? Are you protecting liberty by honoring and respecting one another? And do you realize, as we celebrate liberty, that God is bringing our focus to the primacy and welfare of family? Enjoy your liberties. Enjoy your family. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the liberties, the freedoms, and even the recreation and the leisure that we have in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that during very tense times, very anxious times, God, we pray that we would celebrate the freedom we have in you. Thank you, God, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, Father, help us to be free in our souls and in our spirits. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.